Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta. Welcome back to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl Genesis, and with me, as always, is Toasty. But tonight, it's extra special. It's our Patreon live chat, where if you want to join in on the conversation, you can hit us up at patreon.com/cyberpunklorecast. But with me here tonight is Turbo Toboggan, because we can't have a Patreon chat without Turbo.
No, you cannot.
And special guest today, Logan, welcome back to the Cyberpunk Lorecast.
Ahoy. Good to see everyone. How you been?
You've been out there sailing on the seas.
Been doing all kinds of stuff, but yeah, the news with Cyberpunk and the DLC, it's just like starting to get that itch again. And one of my buddies has been playing through it, and I've been watching his like kind of playthroughs of it, and he's going like a completely different build than I did. And I'm like, oh yeah, I just kind of sat behind a trash can and murdered everyone through netcode. I didn't do anything fun like run around and slice people up.
But it's so fun to run around and slice people up.
I know. I just, for whatever reason, I don't know. The quick hacks just really, really sucked me in.
But it's also fun to set people on fire with your mind.
See? That's thank true. You.
Yeah.
It is fun to make them fight each other while they're also on fire.
Like my first playthrough, I role played in my head like I was like a cyber demon the whole time. I just had the mono wires as my little fire whip. And set people on mind, made them throw up like the plague, controlled their minds.
I don't blame you.
My character
would have loved...
had literally black eyes and flaming red hair and the tribal tattoos.
See, I like it. It's not quite as maelstrom as I would have gone, but it's a good play.
Well, I only have consoles, so I couldn't get mods. If I could have got mods, I would have had them have like the Borg eyes.
Oh, that's
that
true.
Been cool.
Yeah. Mm.
I hope that comes in the DLC. I want that.
That would be awesome to fully go Maelstrom on a character.
Yeah.
Or like, I want to see how animal I can get. See if I can change my body style up a little bit. Make me look beefcakey.
I would you could just remove this and you think it'd be easy for them to do that because then you don't have to have the lips talk. Or like, by the way, do you have first person view in your talk have dialogue?
Mm-mm. You don't have to worry about what you look like whenever you're talking, so you're good.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't remember ever your face showing up unless you look inside the mirror, and you don't talk when you're at the mirror. So I'm like, it doesn't ever have a problem. So
we'll see.
Yep. All right. Well, so tonight we have a very interesting topic. Tosi and I talked a little bit about this last episode, but it seems like we could dive a lot further into it. So I'll set kind of the scenario here. If you could safely view any event that has happened in the world of Cyberpunk, whether it be in the games, in the tabletop, in the lore that we have out there, or even something that happened in Edgerunners, now, you are basically ghost mode. You can see what's going on, but you can't interact. And you're also safe. So if you go witness an explosion, you're not going to get caught in it. I won't make it that evil. So what event would you like to see? Who wants to go first?
Ghost, do you got one?
Oh, Turbo,
I wait. I wait till the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll go. Yeah,
I'm the host now. I wait till the end.
Because when you guys talk about what I saw in my head is I kind of want to sit in space and just watch from from when the internet goes down to current in Cyberpunk. I would like to see like the Earth in fast forward.
Oh,
like how they do the thing, like they'll like do like a construction site fast, where you can see the whole thing built. I would love to see how the Earth goes, because you'd see the explosions go off and all the wars all of a sudden pop up. You just see fireworks go off in it and stuff, and you just see like the world spread out. Well, even beforehand, I'd like to see it from. I guess you have to start whenever you get into space first. But like from that, there's also the world go dark, large chunks of it, and then slowly spread back out again and stuff. And then you look to your side and you see them coming up into space and start build space stations. I would just love to watch the world going fast forward, or I know it's macabre, but see the wars happen. Can you just see the whole topographical of the Earth just change?
Oh, yeah, that sounds amazing. I would love to watch a time lapse of all of this stuff going on. Not necessarily the individual details of what's going on, but the overall worldview. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's why I want to be from space. So I don't have to see it. I know people are dying, but I don't have to see like, oh, I just saw how many people died in a nuclear explosion. Like, oh, that's... It's more of the abstract, like, I'm just a watcher. I cannot affect this, so it doesn't affect my conscience of, I could have stopped that from happening.
Right. Toasty, you seem to like that idea, too.
I mean, it'd be cool. It'd be cool to see it, like, all. I was also thinking about something interesting from what he said with the crash and everything, so... But I'll get around to that.
That would be another thing. Be actually on the internet when it goes down. And not have to worry about all the little AIs and stuff coming at you. Just watch the internet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would have been really interesting to see that. Was it virtual back
then when it went down?
I don't think people were on the net the same way that they are after, later. Like, after the collapse. And when things got rebuilt, I don't think that people were on the net the same way back then.
Yeah, because the like formation of like the net as we see it now didn't come about until after the data crash, because it was just like the regular internet. But like, I guess when did that happen? It was like older, you know, not as developed as we have it current in our current timeline. But yeah, mm-hmm. And then it crashed, and then we get. What we see now, because you know it no longer functions, or you don't want to go there. At least it's a bad place to be.
I think it would have been interesting to see some of the what like the life was like for some of the nomadic tribes after the third corporate war, like after all of the crashes and stuff and the net raids. to kind of see like what was their life like, because I think that would be, it's probably as close to Mad Max as we could probably kind of assume it was like. We haven't, I can't think of anything of us actually seeing like what life is like for most nomads. Like most cyberpunk content we see is typically like in Night City or in one of the major areas and stuff. So I think it would have been cool to kind of follow some of the different tribes and see like what those wars were like between them, like what kind of resources they had, how they managed to survive and things like that.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, the one that's the most prevalent for us, the all the Kazas have like kind of like their long history of like going to and from Mexico, even and like their origin stuff there. So
that'd have been cool. Yeah, watching like them going down to Mexico and like what was the trip like back for them when they decided to come back up.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been fascinating.
I like the nomads. It's man. I think it was still my favorite out of like all the major like organizations that we see.
Yeah, nomads definitely are
pretty cool. And it would be interesting to watch like how the seafaring nomads came to be, you know, because it's like, okay, a nomadic tribe online on land that travels in caravans and things like that. We've definitely seen that, but nomads on the ocean, like I want to learn so much more about them.
Yeah. I wonder if they evolved from pirates.
I feel like it would have been a regression back to kind of piratey times, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it goes back to pirate time when like everything goes to shit, and then eventually when we're starting to go back, instead of going back like they did back in history, they eventually went, well, they're still going on now, but you know what I mean, like they stopped being more pirates practically. I wonder if they just didn't and they became cargo or nomads. They just started doing.
Yeah, because I know that there are specific like groups that like kind of perform, you know, piracy still. But like for I think a good chunk of them, they're as like legit as you can be in cyberpunk, you know, like, but they I mean, it's all the nomads that like basically hit the world going, so they obviously didn't just like turn it out to fend for themselves. They took care of the greater world during the time of the Red. So
yeah, I think it would be very interesting to see what kind of prompted all of the nomadic, like the sea nomads and stuff, like, and why did they decide to go that route as opposed to like staying on land and stuff. I was definitely thinking, as far as like something that I would have liked to have seen, is at least in Cyberpunk 2077, there's the ending that you can take where you are kind of going up and you kind of side with Arasaka and they take you up into the space colony, and they're kind of like going through the paces as far as like all those cognitive tests. And then you find out through like one of the news channels that Saburo has kind of like taken over his son's body. I would have liked to have been a ghost in the room when I can't remember if it was his daughter that had kind of helped like push that forward, or if that was something that he had had, like he had, you know, captured his son and basically like took over his body, or if his, you know, did his son put up a fight? Did his son like give it over willingly? Like, I wanted to know kind of more about that, because it always seemed really kind of odd that that he would just be kind of okay with all of it, you know, especially after Yorinobu's been like, he's been like running it for years at that point.
Yeah, I think, I mean, my guess has always been that it wasn't Yorinobu's choice. Yeah. Like, I think just because like one, I mean, obviously Yorinobu was creating kind of a bad like presentation for Arasaka. And then like, I think specifically depending on where you go with it, right? Like is, you know, if this happens or not. So I think like, I think that the sister does, because she's very, she just seemed very loyal to Saburo as well. Hanako, that was the name. I was trying to think of the name and I was like,
yeah, Hanako.
Yeah. She does seem super loyal to Saburo, although it's hard to tell because there was also that weird, like their relationship was a little like Game of Thronesy. So
was it actually, I know we joked about that a long time ago, but was it like that, or was that just like a cultural thing that didn't translate as well because of like their Japanese culture and stuff? Like I always wonder, like in the back of my mind, like if I read that wrong, that scene wrong when I was playing through it. But I agree.
Well, like she silences him, which is the thing that like made it seem sus, is because she was like, no, not in front of people. And it was like,
yeah, it was like something was definitely up there. But I wonder, like, I wonder if that was her just trying to kind of set things up. Like, you know, she wanted to make sure that if there was any conversation to be had, that there was nothing that was going to get brought up about the family kind of like in public kind of thing.
Yeah. I felt like if it'd been like, when I was thinking about that, I did that. But when I thought like, if their roles, like sexes had been reversed, that's exactly what it would have been. I think it was just mostly us putting it on people who have grown up with the, oh no, I'm stuck culture. Like that. I'm sorry, but that has colored things now. Now that that's out there, that has colored things, so it's going to affect how everyone that has ever heard of that is going to see stuff. But if the roles have been reversed and it was a man with a woman, it would have been more of like, shut up, we don't want our secrets getting out.
Yeah.
But since it was...
Okay.
This is my psychological viewing.
I could be totally wrong.
I could see it both ways. I think it's open to interpretation, but... I'm kind of been thinking more about how I think Hanako played more of a role. That's kind of why I wish I was there, like finding out like, okay, well, how much is, you know, even it, like when you go to the Nocturne mission, like you're meeting up with Hanako, right? And she's kind of explaining like how it's going to go down or like what's up. And you get this kind of like sense that there's so much more information that she's just been quiet about. Like she understands everything that seems to be going on. She knew everything that was going on. She wasn't really surprised by this, but she was kind of staying appraised of it all. And that was always kind of the situation where I was thinking like, maybe she knew like what was going to happen with her father the whole time. And she's been like, I don't know, just kind of waiting for Yorinobu to make a wrong move or something.
I always felt like she was like the that's not the right word, but it's closest to where I can think right now. Like the moderator of the family. Like she's supposed to make sure that she doesn't get involved in the politics or anything like that. But if it ever seems like Arasaka is going to start tipping, she has to step in and ride it and then step right back out. Like she's just the one there that's like the fail safe. Like if her father had started to go bad, she would have stepped in like somehow, I don't know. She wouldn't have said, dad, you need to stop. Cause right now he's in power, but more of like, she keeps it from tipping him. As at least in my head, I could be totally wrong. That's what I felt like.
That's something I think would have been cool to see. I would have loved to have seen the scene where after we leave, what happens between Hanako and Yorinobu? Like, what's the conversation that has when everyone's out of the room and you can't really see what's going on? Does she tell him that everything's going to be fine and she supports him and then ushers him into, you know, a room where they've got Soul Killer, and, you know, that's when Saburo gets injected into Yorinobu's. Like, how does it all play out? Like, does it happen later on, or like how much time passes between all that?
That's another thing. I would also like to be there because we don't know if maybe they soul killed him first, So technically, he's stuck on a chip while Onoma took his body, because I don't know if you can.
Yeah, that's another thing too.
Like, because that would be a great, because you never know, that could be a great way of punishment. Like, you just tried to, you killed me, so now you can watch as I live your life.
Yeah.
And no offense, that seems something like an evil corporate overlord would do.
He's grounded forever. That's Saburo's plan.
I mean, Saburo is an evil corporate overlord.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's something like an evil corporate overlord would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm getting my computer back up and running now.
I'm glad that,
you're at least... everything is wanting to update.
Oh, I hate it that you're at least with us.
I know. I just had to go through this whole thing. That's another thing too. Like, I always wonder about Cyberpunk. Like, is there ever a time where if you have a whole bunch of firmware updates you have to do for all your cybernetics, is there like a, you have to set a timer at like between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. run all the updates, and then you wake up and you're like, oh, I got to get out of bed, I got to get to work. And it's like, oh no, your body's rebooting. You got to wait for all these updates to finish installing.
Well, I think is you have to go to like your Ripper doc to get that done. But I imagine it's, I mean, in this universe, I bet it's more prevalent
for the first ones, because I'm betting that a lot of the first ones weren't like Wi-Fi.
So like early on, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to like plug in and stay still. But no offense, with the current ones where like I can just look at you from a camera and hack you, I'm thinking you can do it on the go. It'll just be set to factory default, so maybe you can't pop up the arm blade, but your arm still works. You got basic functions.
The only reason I say that is because David had to get like the firmware on his like brain dance thing updated. So like, and granted, he did jip it, but I imagine like it might be a thing where it's like a manual. Because it's
wonder.
That's another thing I'd like to be for the first cyberware surgeries, like major ones, like they put into all completely fake organs inside you, or like that would be amazing to watch. Like, you know, the old doctor giant bowl of a room where everyone just watches the people do surgery, like something like that, of watching like the first major cyberware surgery.
So you got me wondering though.
Wow.
You brought up the David thing, and I'm trying to remember that scene because I can't remember that scene that well. But I was wondering, do you think that's because of the type of tech that he was getting wasn't something that wasn't just like readily available?
It might have been. But like, I mean, the thing is that we see a lot of things, and granted, in 2077, yeah, you can like remotely hack people, but yeah, like everything's very like hardware for the majority of things. Like, you have to have like a physical cyber deck, you have to have like the physical like chips and things to like install programs. Like,
yeah,
I imagine like even if you don't have to go to your Ripper dock for the like to like sit down and he plugs you up to like install them or update them, you probably still have to go get like physical chips that you like slot in for the updates, kind of thing. Man. So,
all right, let's hit up a quick little mid break.
If you told me that Butt Cheek Beach was a Mario Kart course, I'd believe you.
You know how when you're hanging with your buds and the conversation takes a nosedive into vehemently arguing things about fictional worlds that don't matter? Well, Debate This is a show that tries to recapture that magic.
The first time we meet Wario, I'm pretty sure, is in the second Mario Game Boy game, and I think his whole shtick is like, he's stealing shit.
That doesn't mean he's anti-union time.
It's like two parts barroom debate, one part show and tell, and one part horrific thought experiment.
He is certainly not stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. If anything, Mario is a blue-collar worker, and he's stealing from Mario.
Mario is a centrist, and we all know that.
Mario is upholding the monarch estate of Mushroom Kingdom.
You cannot tell me that Wario is not anti-fascist. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you download podcasts.
Yeah, I'm going to think about Wario being anti-fascist for a while. Go ahead, Todd.
Welcome to the middle of the show where we talk about the show and not the lore, Cyberpunk. We have an amazing 17 patrons, and I am so thankful and grateful for each and every one of you. And as a matter of fact, one of our patrons who couldn't make it tonight, Rexifer, sent me his thoughts about being the eyes in the sky, the ghost in the shell, the one standing and not able to interact. And he said, "Hey, Chooms, happy 2023. I hope you are all doing well. If I were a ghost in the history of cyberpunk, I would be most curious about the collapse and the revival of Africa from 1990 to 2020. Within 5 years of the collapse, the Pan-Africa Alliance and the ESA, European Space Agency, had begun development on the Kilimanjaro mass driver, and by 2020 had an established megacorporation, Orbital Air, giving Africa a solid foothold in the power of the 21st century, most notable being assisting with the creation of the Crystal Palace." That sounds cool. Watching the Crystal Palace being built, watching within 5 years this like mega corporation being created. Yep. I agree. What do you guys think?
I think it would have been really cool. I think Africa is definitely one of those areas where we don't get a lot of story yet. And I would like to see the Crystal Palace.
It is kind of, yeah, I think it would be nice to get more, just because specifically like with the stuff we do know, they are the most thriving like nation in the world, like of the current date. Like everyone else is kind of declining, but they are doing excellent for themselves, really. That would be nice to just get more of all that. The Crystal Palace is probably, I could probably say for a lot of people who enjoy this stuff, one of the things we want to see the most, because it's like they talk about it so much and it's like we don't get to see it yet. I really want to.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Rexifer, for sending that in to us. And if you are a patron who can't make it to the weekly, the monthly Patreon chats or anything like that, and would like to send in your thoughts about the topic that we discuss, feel free to send them through DMs on Discord to me. I am Genesis, JENNASIS. Or, of course, you can always email us at cyberpunklorecast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up in the Discord, the Robots Radio Discord. Links to that are in the description. And I'm pretty sure that if you already have open DMs with Toasty, you can send them to him too, and then he'll send them to me and make me read them out instead.
Yes.
And I do have one more thing to read out, because we got a new review this week. Absolutely amazing. 5 stars from Courier 7 via Apple Podcasts here in the United States. Toasty and Genesis are absolutely crushing with the cyberpunk lore discussions and news. I'm really looking forward to listening to more because I'm really enjoying the lore discussions and news, and especially looking forward to the Phantom Liberty DLC coming this year. Big time, yes, agree. I cannot wait for Phantom Liberty. I am itching for something new and exciting, and I want to know all the minor little changes that are going to go on. I'm excited for the main plot storyline that's going to advance some things and answer the questions that we have from the trailers, but I also want to know the little cool things that are going to make me want to continue playing the game for another, you know, couple of years while they're working on the next Cyberpunk game. So I'm also very excited for that. I think the only other last thing that I have to do is, of course, shout out that if you are looking for tabletop dice or dice to play, they have poker dice. They have like a set of six, just six side D6s that you can buy. So anything that you use dice for, you can pick up from metallicdicegames.com. And using our code CPLC at checkout, Toasty and I get 10% of your order. You save it, we get it. I like it.
Yes, 10% of your order. Not the money you pay on the order. 10% of your order. So if there's a chunk missing from your dice, it went to one of us.
You know, I actually wouldn't be mad about that either. Like, maybe like a whole dice, you know, like, oh, so somebody ordered this really cool metallic dice set and you get their D4.
Hey, we're just saving you from the inevitability of you dropping it on the floor and stepping on it because it becomes a caltrop once it's on the floor.
Now, especially if they're metal. Those bouncy ones. Do they are they painful to step on or do they squish?
No, so they squish. I actually have the rubberized dice set from Metallic Dice Games, and they are super bouncy and they're squishy. So I actually like sit there and just squish the little D4 because it's fun. But yeah, all right, let's get back into it. All right, we are back. Crazy events to witness within the lore of Cyberpunk. But really, like, and Toasty and I talked about this last week, but I think the big thing that I would want to do is I want a night out on the town. I want to get all completely dolled up in, you know, like, in the grunge wear, in the rocker boy outfits. I want to go feel the pulse of the crowd. I want to crowd surf. I want to just be backstage at a samurai concert. That's what I want. I want to know if they live up to the hype because we only get like 45 seconds at a time in game. I want to know if Johnny really is that badass. You know, I want to see it for myself.
I could totally see that. You think it would live up to your hype though?
No, because I think the only times that we see Johnny on stage is when it's through his own memories. And so obviously he's going to claim that he is the biggest, badassiest rocker boy out there.
I mean, he kind of, I think he kind of is though. Like, he wouldn't be as like prevalent if he wasn't, you know, like.
But is that because of what he did or because of his music?
Exactly.
Well, so the thing is, I don't think people know about what he did, though. Like, they knew him for the rock. I don't think anyone knew other than, like, the few people. Like, it doesn't seem like people are massively aware of, like, his attack on Arnold Sakatar because he just disappears. Like, it just happens, and he just disappears. But, and the only person to really left to tell that tale is Rogue.
And Carrie. Yeah.
Well, Carrie doesn't even know what happened. He knows that Johnny went to do it, but he doesn't know what happened.
True.
That's a good one, though. You actually want to experience Night City as opposed to just looking at some of the biggest moments in the history of Cyberpunk and wanting to be present for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to be in it. I want to live it.
I feel like, because the one I was thinking of was kind of like that, but it's a little more morbid. I wanted to be there to see like the process of Adam Smasher's transformation from when he went like from his solo career to like being a Borg, and like that kind of just seeing like what his first couple weeks of him being in his Borg state are kind of like does he just go crazy, or does he have like a power trip and just start smashing things? I'm really curious, like what was Adam Smasher's mentality, like how did it shift? Did he break down and cry at any point, like when he realized he was losing everything? Like I want to see what his life was like right at that pivotal point in his career.
The way it sounds, he's like he was heartless even before it, so I'd be curious to see like how much it affected him, if it even did. Like, I mean, because at the point because there was kind of two major instances where he like Borged, because we have like the initial incident where he got hit, like direct blasted by an RPG. And so like, it was like, oh, there's hardly any of you left. We're going to make most of you a robot now. But then I think he even got injured again. So that's whenever he became what we see now, where it's like the only skin he has is that little bit here.
So. Yeah. I mean, they always talk about like how sadistic he was and stuff, and just how cruel. It seems like one of those moments where, like, I can imagine if I was a soldier and something happened and I blacked out and I woke up and I was just like a robot, I'd be like, I feel like there might have been something that either, I feel like something snapped for him, and I'd be really curious to see like what people thought of him, like after he woke up and he was just like, oh, this is even better.
I don't think it's so much as he snapped. It's more of like the reins came off. The last little thing that like for like a serial call, they give themselves little allowances, and then they eventually just go, I don't have any allowance. I have everything. I think that's what happened with Adam Smasher. It's like, I'm not even human anymore. I don't have to listen to the rules.
Yeah.
Whee! It's just him skipping through a field of dandelion going, yay, murder.
Yeah. It's just like he... Yeah, that's definitely an image. I guess like, and he... The only limitation he had before was the like frailties of his human flesh. And so once that was gone, it was just, I can do whatever I want because I don't have anything to stop me anymore.
And yeah, he was really curious.
He was paid to be, you know, him.
Yeah.
To be a brutal killer. So that's exactly what they wanted. So,
I was, because that wasn't when it was Arasaka who had hired him.
Was Arasaka, but there was like a brief period where it wasn't known that it was Arasaka. Because he got like a mystery figure who basically like hired him and then, you know, basically paid to get him all Borged up, to then find out later that it was Arasaka. But it was like, who cares at that point? He's certainly not him.
I wonder what it would have been like when Black Hand had found out about that.
Wasn't he the reason he chose Arasaka, just so he could fight Black Hand more?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because Black Hand was tied in with Militech. So it was like opposite sides of the war.
Like, imagine thinking like he's dead or something, and then find out like he's actually still alive and he's all Borged out, and now he's trying to still come and hunt you down.
That's a good idea from the event. I want to see all the stuff that Black Hand has been involved in up until now, because he's been gone.
Yeah.
He's just been a name, but like, I think we're all sure he's alive. Hopefully. I'm hoping. We'll see.
I really do. Like, there's too much evidence for Solomon Reed to not be Morgan Blackhand. Like, it's gotta be him. It's gotta be. I'm gonna be sad if it's not.
If it's not, I still hope that they at least put more about Blackhand in. Because we, no offense, is it Militech with the U.S. government? So shouldn't we, hear more about Militech now, hopefully?
Is yep. Militech, or are they kind of contracted with the U.S.
They're,
government?
So after the Fourth Corporate War, basically Militech was forced to tie in to the U.S., basically the U.S.,
because it was like
dictates what they do.
Yeah.
Because they were a problem that needed to be either taken control of or removed. I would have liked to see them try, but I guess at the end of the Fourth Corporate War, they were probably in a pretty vulnerable state. So maybe, but
they took.
So it's kind of a contract,
like
I think.
A hybrid.
Yeah. So, but. I mean, they work closely with with NUSA, so, and we do know that. So we'll see, mm-hmm. I guess.
And what would you like to see? You said that.
Oh,
we'll
go ahead,
see
Logan.
That?
Oh no, sorry. I was trying to think of other things that would be really cool to check out. But go ahead. I'm curious. What you got, Toasty?
So, I don't mean, and I may be cheating a little bit because at this point, it's not really a win. It's kind of a where, sort of, because I think I just want to see beyond the black wall.
Oh, okay.
I want to be able to be a ghost in the old net and see what we're looking at there, because we see little snippets, but not really. What is it? What does it look like with all the rabbits, with Alt's fortress kind of thing she's got going on? What does it look like? Does it look like? Because these things are so advanced at this point that they're almost living organisms in a mm-hmm. sense. The rabbits virus is all adapted and became their own individual things, and they were smart AIs. So
weren't they they were AIs? They were just not as strong of AIs as some of the Alt kind of thing.
Yeah, I believe
they were
so.
More
anyways,
VIs than AIs. They were actually
virtual intelligence probably the more correct term, but it seems like they had kind of evolved into a level of sentience. So does it look like its own civilization, but in the net specifically, but cause I mean, with Alt on the other side, and we know how strong she is on the net. I mean, I wonder if she maybe reined in the rabbits and created a virtual empire of a sort. Who really knows? We don't know much about Beyond the Black Wall.
Yeah, it's a curious thought. What does VI and AI need when they don't have anything physical? Do they still create things to try and have some sort of semblance based off of, what their creators had in towns and cities and stuff?
I think maybe, because I think once you develop that certain level of sentience that I I'm at, the Alt is still kind a person just without a body, and you can obviously skip all the physical things that humans need to survive. You don't have to worry about food, hydration, stuff like that. But then once you're past that, do you still crave those, art or comfort of other things, or in this sense, people?
Mm-hmm.
I think all definitely does, because she talked, like, the way that she talked about Johnny, you know, it was like, it almost seemed like she missed him. And then if you go the path where you give up all of, where you can, like, send people to her or whatever when she's in Mikoshi, you know, I think she misses camaraderie and interaction with, you know, if the rabbits are still kind of mindless childlike attack dogs, either attack dogs or very childish and not, if she's playing mommy, then she definitely wants somebody else there to help out, take care of the children and raise her little family. I could see that. Or just something. Something who is on her level, because at that point she can't really, even if she could interact with humans on a day-to-day basis, they don't know what her life is like. There's no way for us to know that.
I don't know if anyone else did the side quest, but I let him free. So technically, isn't there also now Alt and now
Delamain?
Thank you, Delamain. So I'm like, aren't those like the only two that we know of, like we've actually spoken to?
Yeah, those are the ones we've like spoken to, like the like.
So technically, right now, the only person Alt has to talk to that we know of is Delamain.
Well, I don't think Delamain went out specifically. Like,
He didn't go to the.
That's what I was wondering too. I can't remember.
I don't know, because there was different things you could do if you break. Because I had to, because I didn't have like the stat for like doing the other choice.
I specifically broke
the core, and so Delamain splits into his like seven personalities, and they kind of go off on like each of the of themselves like into the world somewhere, because they'll send you text messages of like places that they've been or like to the places that they go to.
Yeah, that's different than what I did. The one I did, they stayed together. He left and left technically his son. That's who now runs the company. It's technically just like the earlier version of him before he became self-aware or whatever and stuff like that. Because like in mine, I had enough stats where like they merged all together and it became kind of like, like I would say rogue, not like it was a human that became a thing. It's actually like the first thing that just naturally happened. It's now, it's like a rogue, but it's artificial.
Yeah.
It's what it's always thought was happening. And I don't remember where he went, but he leaves and he leaves his son back, and his son is the one that gives you the car.
Gotcha.
The other one that can happen is not a VI, but if you send Jackie's body to Mama right away, Jackie can actually become an engram like Johnny, because they download his info to see if he can know where the chip went, and you can give Jackie to Alt as another person to hang out with.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if like she, like, because I'm sure there's more Ingrams in Mikoshi than just Johnny and Jackie. So like, I wonder if she takes more. Because I mean,
thought she did, didn't she? Am I remembering that wrong?
She may have. There is maybe a dialogue thing. I know it doesn't show like them with her. But like, it may have been a dialogue thing, and I'm just not remembering for sure. But it's like, what is she doing with those?
Other rich dying people in Mikoshi. There has to be other rich dying people.
Yeah, I remember it was something like she was going to take them with her back to the other side of the Black Wall, because that was like the safest. Like she was going to add her or add their existences to her own. But I could be misremembering that as well too. But yeah.
So like, I like even more on that, like actual like people, and like I get they're only Ingrams, but like we see that like Johnny's Ingram. I'm not saying Ingram's wrong with this whole time. I don't know why. But we see Johnny's Ingram has the ability to react to the situation, which means that, like, to a certain extent, he has sentience of things. Like, he sees the world and can react to the world. So, like, once they get over there, like, it's probably only a matter of time before they, like, evolve to the point where, like, it's like they are a regular person, just in computer data form. So, like, she's kind of bringing in all these different elements into whatever's on the other side.
I think that would be a great time in the cyberpunk lore to go and witness very safely, because you wouldn't want rabbids to attack you or for Alt to try and eat you. You know, not good. And I really do think that now that we've talked about her so much, I want to learn more. And I think Alt will definitely be our next character deep dive. Let's get some Alt lore out there. Find out what's really going on behind the Black Wall. Let's wrap it up for the night. This has been amazing. And I always love the Patreon chats, because you guys come up with such cool ideas. Here I am, like, I want to go to a concert. And Turbo's like, I want to see the evolution of the entire world. And I'm just like, mind blown. You guys are amazing. Turbo, you got anything you want to shout out or ways people can find you?
They can find me on the Discord. I don't have any way to shut up.
Okay.
Anything to my knowledge.
Logan, what you got?
Well, thanks for having me come back in. It was nice to get a chance to talk to you guys all about Cyberpunk. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to anyone about Edge Runners or Phantom Liberty, but I'm really excited. The show is fantastic. I'm really excited for Phantom Liberty and what that'll bring. So thank you for allowing me to come back on. I'll match you on the night out with Johnny. I want to have like a nice sit down, just watching a casual night of what Goro does in Night City. I just want to know what his day to day is. Like, does he go down to the sushi shop? Does he get some ramen? Does he go back home, do some push-ups, and then read a book or a manuscript or something? Like, that would be a fun one for me. I'll toss that out at there in the end.
I like it. Do you got anything going on that you want to shout out or plug?
Part of the Robots Radio Network. I'm quiet over on Robots Radio Discord, because unfortunately I've got a couple other that I'm managing at the time. But if you guys are still fans of Sea of Thieves or Xbox, I've got the Keelhauled podcast through Robots Radio Network. I'm also doing a co-hosting with the Xbox Expansion Pass with Luke Lore. So if you guys are fans of Xbox or just want to keep up on games news, I'm joining him now every week to talk about more kind of general game stuff. But thanks again. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Super cool. I have not checked out that one yet, so I'll go give you guys a listen, see what's going on, because I am a PC player, but mainly I play a lot through Xbox Game Pass. So
right?
I'm all here for it. Toasty, where can the people find you, so if they wish to do so?
I am one of the hosts of the Witcher Lorecast, also on the Robots Radio Network, and I also do the Cyberpunk Red live play podcast, Cyberpunk apostrophe D, with the Fumbling Four and Almighty Crit King. And I just, because y'all were saying it, I have to throw it out there. I'm such a Judy stan that honestly, I kind of want to just like sit there while she just works on her brain dances and see like the process on that.
I was waiting for it.
I knew you were going to. I was like, oh, Toasty's going to be like, I want to spend a night in Judy's bedroom.
No, because I respect Judy so much that I also respect the fact that she is a lesbian and is not attracted to a man like me, and that is fine, but I would love to at least hang out, have a nice chat, and see her her brain dance process, because honestly we don't get enough of that anyways, so that'd be cool to like see that. You're not quotation me, this is legitimately
oh yeah no I 100%
being genuine
yeah
Stop it.
I know that you are being genuine.
I haven't heard Toasty talk about G in a while. I was waiting for it to come back.
She hasn't come up in a bit. We haven't had any
reason to. I'm waiting for Toasty. Toasty, if you don't host the Judy episode, I'm going to be a little disappointed.
I would definitely be here for the Judy episode. I was there on Jin's podcast about the Judy romance episode. So
yes, you were. So if you want to listen to that, that is the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. Each episode is a character-specific deep dive into a video game. So we have done all four of the cyberpunk romances on there. And Toasty was a guest star on the Judy episode, because there was nobody else that I would want on that episode to come and chat with me. What?
I've also been on a couple patron chats too, but not very many.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, you've been on a couple. I record super late for the girls. I understand that not everybody can make it out there because we do live stream those episodes, but it's not until 7:30 Pacific. So I know that that's late for you East Coasters. I will say that part of the reason that I want to go to a Samurai concert is because Carrie will be there. And maybe he'll just spot me out in the crowd. You know, a girl can dream. A girl can dream. All right. The only other thing that we absolutely have to shout out is the amazing, illustrious badassery that is Gav of Miracle of Sound. Please go and give him a follow on all his socials and listen to him on Spotify, YouTube, wherever you like to listen to music. Miracle of Sound. And while you guys are out there contemplating what event you would want to see, remember,
stay safe in Night City.
Are you a fan of Elden Ring? Are you confused about the lore as pretty much everyone else? We've got you covered. Check out the Elden Archives, a lore podcast that helps to explain every little confusing detail about the lands between. Things like what exactly happened on the Night of the Black Knives, or what we really know about characters like Mikola. Just like the show you're listening to now, we're on the Robots Radio Network, so you know it'll be good. Wondering how to find the show? Easy. Either go to robotsradio.net or search Elden Archives on whatever podcatcher you're using right now. Bookmark the show for later, and we'll see you in the lands between. Again, that's The Elden Archives, FromSoft Lorecast, available everywhere. Yeah.